The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I grew up in Oakland. Or maybe really, if you know San Francisco and its environs, to be fair, I was born in Berkeley. I spent some time in Oakland. And then when I was 10, we moved to Piedmont, which is different a lot than Oakland. But we would spend our lives kind of hopping back and forth over one line or another. Berkeley was the place you went to get good records and good college pizza. Those were important to teenagers. And Oakland was a place that was always sort of exciting to explore, sometimes exciting in good ways, other times exciting in scary ways. But it was a wonderful place to be near and to grow up, to have sports and entertainment and all those things. So it was not a surprise one summer morning when my friends and I got together in high school and one of them said, I've got this place. We've got to go. We have to leave at 6 tomorrow morning. And the teenagers of us all thought, no, you misspoke. We leave at 6 tomorrow night. And he said, no, we have to get up, and we have to be there at 6. So sure enough, blearily, we all met at 5:45 at my house, and we drove out of Piedmont through the different varied districts of Oakland to the Diamond District, which is right where the Fruitvale District, if you know that part of Oakland. And we drove to Anne's Cafe. And I mean, cafe makes it sound like this rolling, big place. You walked in the door, and there were 3 seats at a counter in the window, and then there was another counter that had 12 seats, and then there was the grill and the coffee machine and the cash register, and that was it. And there was a refrigerator in the back, right? So, I mean, it was this tiny little place. When we arrived, it was clear why we had to get there at 6, because the 5 of us couldn't sit together if we showed up at 7 or at 8 or anything like that. It was just, you know, if we wanted to sit in a row, the only way was get there when it opened. And I don't know how many of you have been to Oakland or spent much time there. The Diamond District is neither the worst part nor the best part of Oakland. It's safe-ish. And at 6 in the morning, no one's really up, so it's fine. But my friend had just bought, you know, we were teenagers. He had just bought this beautiful, beat-up 1964 Mustang that he was going to rebuild. God, it was beautiful. It was so much fun to ride in. And he had parked it around back. So, of course, we all sat down, and he piped up. He looked at the woman who was working the place and said, I parked around back. Is that safe? And she said, oh, no, honey, but they've got your engine out already, so sit and enjoy your coffee. And so we were introduced to this wonderful woman, Fran. Of course, Anne's Cafe is run by a woman named Fran, but I can't explain everything, right? Fran, this short little Italian woman who had grown up in Oakland, spent her whole life there, who ran this place, and until when her husband retired, he went and helped her too, and it was just the two of them always back there. She she lectured us on safe sex, mostly by telling us dirty jokes. It was very sort of, which was important in the 80s. I mean, that was changing, and it was sort of weird to hear this person we didn't know kind of tell limericks and things like that. You can imagine. She was always sure to come by and fill up your coffee cup, and it didn't matter who you were. There were acres of policemen at the shift change coming in to get something warm to eat, and they had just as much chance to sit down next to one of us as they had to sit down next to someone who was leading a little less savory life, if you know what I mean. But in Anne's Cafe, all was okay. You couldn't make a mess, you couldn't be a pain, you couldn't yell, but if you were there to eat, you were there, man. Didn't matter who you were or why. Even the guy who was sleeping on the corner, who'd been drinking all night, could come in and get a cup of coffee as long as he went back outside because he didn't smell well, you know? And that's not even the beginning of it. Here's this effusive love from this woman. You sit down in front of her and she says, "Oh, sweetie, what do you want?" And I, the rookie, say, "Oh, I'm going to have some French toast." And she says, "No, French toast isn't, you got to eat, you're growing. I'm going to make you an omelet, sweetie." And okay, sure, the omelet's great. You got to have some meat in it, because you got to grow, you need your protein. All right, I'll have linguica, that's great for you, you'll love it. And some spinach, it's so good for your bones. By the time she finished ordering for me, there were 6 things in this omelet. And when it came, it was the size of a loaf of bread. And that was after hash brown potatoes and a pancake and all the coffee you could imagine. It was wonderful. And the thing is, she didn't treat us any differently because we were from another town. She did this to everybody. Overwhelming amounts of food, overwhelming amounts of love that she expressed in all of us. And then at the end, we try and pay, and she says, no, I can't take your money. Don't worry about it. Over the years that we went back and back, and we went back a lot because she fed us well, we figured out that if you walked behind the counter to give her a hug as you were leaving, because we got to know each other pretty well, you could, with your hand, hug her, and with your other hand, slip a $20 bill into the gap between the cash register and the coffee machine, and she wouldn't see it for, you know, a couple of hours. But if she saw it, she would run after you with it. She said, "Oh, I'm not going to take your money, you sweet boys from Piedmont. Oh, you're so nice. I love my Piedmont boys." She was wonderful, effusive with love. When you were right in front of her, you were the only thing that was in her world. And then when it was time to go to someone else, they were the only thing that was in her world. It was beautiful. She loved to eat. She loved to laugh. She loved to love. She was earthy. She was down to earth. She was salty. She was great. This is nothing to do with anything, but like, she got acres of commendations. You know, the last day that she had her restaurant open, which was about 15 years ago, my friend and I skipped work, you know, took off lunch to go say goodbye and have lunch with her. And there had to be 75 people in this room. I mean, it was in a 12-seat diner. And so we're sitting there, we're crammed in, we're eating our whatever we're eating, and finally we look at each other, it's like, "Oh man, we got to get out of here. This is crazy. I got to get back to work." And so we start to kind of filter towards the door, and the door is like as wide as this pew, right? And so we're standing there in the door, and I'm squeezing out, and the then mayor of Oakland is squeezing in, Jerry Brown. And so he and I are sort of chest to chest, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and I say, "Mr. Mayor?" And he says, "Well, hello." And so they squeezed by, and I mean, like, it just was weird how you would run into these people, because, again, it didn't matter who you were. The cops, the bad guys, the mayors, the bums, they were all welcome. They all got something at Anne's Cafe. And Anne was glad to share it. I don't know how she made any money. I don't know how she stayed open, but she sure loved doing it for all the years that she did it. Acres of newspaper articles, acres of commendations. She was wonderful. Now, you might wonder why I tell you this story. She's wonderful. I loved her a lot. I tell you this story because it helps ground today's gospel. Today's gospel is tricky, and here's why. You know that we have this 3-year cycle, right, for our readings, the lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary. It's a great plan. to read as much of the Bible as we can in 3 years, right? So 1 year, it's pretty easy. You read the Gospel of Matthew. That's where everything starts. That's the first one. Let's just do that. And another year, the Gospel of Luke is so much fun. There's all these great details. And let's go that. Oh, the third year. What do you do? It's not the third year, but, you know, the third year you've got. What do? Which gospel do you read? Well, if you read the Gospel of Mark, there's actually not enough Sundays in the year. Or there's too many Sundays in the year. You run out of gospel. That's uncomfortable. And if you read the Gospel of John, oh, it's so mystical and kind of wispy. You'd be lost for a year if you read it all year through the year, or all week through the year. So we go back and forth in this year, in year B, between the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John, between sort of practical and straightforward and really literally a play that we think was enacted, to this mystical, magical, crazy poetry and mysticism. And so we're at the seam of one of those transitions where 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago we were reading from Mark, and now we're going into John about the bread of life. And it's hard because John's language is so up in the air. It's so transformative. Anybody who says that Jesus was the Word and that the Word was God and the Word was with God, if that's the very beginning of the gospel, like how are you going to, I don't know. I can't follow beyond that. I don't know what he means by that. It's not... Which is why this gospel today is very important. Because as much as there's some wispy, ethereal stuff in it, Jesus is very practical about two things. And I want to call your attention to them because it's transformative. What is the first thing he says? He says, I am the bread, right? And I think, I mean, Greg preached a great sermon last week about how central bread was in those days. But I don't think we quite got it. When Jesus says, I am the bread, all the people around him respond, who is this guy? He's not from heaven. We know his parents. What they're saying is, that's too commonplace. If God were coming down, it wouldn't be in the familiar, would it? But that's what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the bread. I am the bread means I am the everyday material of life. I am the ordinary, the very most common thing. In fact, it's more profound than that. Jesus was talking to people who, if they didn't have bread, it wasn't because they were on a carb fast, it was because they didn't have food, right? No bread. Bread was the bottom rung of what they ate, not the, like, optional, only at an Italian restaurant kind of thing, right? Like, oh, Olive Garden. Oh. So, I know, right? So, what Jesus is saying with this I am the bread is that he's using an analogy for people for whom without bread they are starving. And what he's saying to them and to us is that without God, we're starving. And in our world today, we find these ways. You know, they're like Tic Tacs or energy drinks or something like that, spiritually, that sort of tide us over. Well, I'm not gonna see God today, so maybe I'm just, you know, like I'll read a self-help book and that'll be fine, right? That'll get me through. And there's nothing wrong with self-help books, right? Or you know, I don't have time for breakfast this morning. I'm gonna have a cup of coffee. You know, that's fine, but God yearns to feed you, to really satisfy every hunger that you could have. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be satisfied and never be hungry again? That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about being this thing that is so essential to us that without it we'd almost die. That you wouldn't have a meal without bread. It just wouldn't make sense. In the same way, you wouldn't have a life without God. The other thing that Jesus is saying today, and he uses this phrase, come down from heaven. He's talking about how very practical and earthy God is. It's the incarnation. That's the sort of fancy word we use. And it's always equipoised against God being up in the clouds and very, very just amazing, right? Regal and far away. The opposite of that, the other side of that, and God is both of these, is that God is down in the dirt with us. God, I think, might tell us dirty jokes to get us to do safe sex, you know? That would be how much God would love us, down in the midst of what we're in, not far away and transcendent, right? When Jesus says he's the bread come down from heaven, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about he's the everyday piece of life that we couldn't eat without, and that he's the ordinary, the most commonplace in our lives, and that we miss him every day because we live our lives like everything is normal. And we look for God in these transcendent, amazing places where God is sometimes, but miss him in this sort of everyday. So yeah, I'm not saying that Fran was like Jesus, or was Jesus, or was God. But there's some commonalities that are amazing. They're very earthy, and that's what God, what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. They're full of love. They love to eat. They love to share. They love to laugh. And they love to be joyful with each other. So, what I'm telling you is, recognize how hungry you are. Jesus is the bread, so come eat today. Hear the word broken up open and be fed by that. Come to the table and encounter Jesus in a physical way. Be transformed by that and be fed in a way that no food on earth could ever, ever feed you. And I know we just had a great breakfast in the parish hall, but aren't you hungry?